Hi guys, Sharon here. I wanted to jump in at the top of today's show to let you all know about a free resource that I'm sharing this fall that might be up your alley. That is the You Can Design Yourself webinar series. I'll be joined by some amazing guests to share content and stories that I hope will inspire you to go after whatever it is that you really want in your life and work. It's a three-part series where I'll be exploring how to see what you want, be where you are, and write the story of you. This series continues tomorrow, November 7th, where I'm going to be joined by my good friend and fellow coach, Bethany DeFore. And we're going to be talking about how to move into whatever it is that you really want. You have to begin by being right where you are. So we'll talk about getting present and how that influences our presence and ability to take action. To listen to part one of this series and to reserve your spot in the next two classes, you can head over to pointroadstudios.com/classes. I will see you there.
Okay, you ready?
You're listening to Design Yourself, a podcast to help you figure out what it is that you want and then make it happen. I'm Sharon Lepofsky. Don't you forget, this is my life and it's gonna be good. Don't you know? Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 68 of Design Yourself. I am your host, Sharon, and today I am so delighted to introduce you all to a really special individual, Jennifer Bongara. Jennifer is proof that people can sometimes arrive to us from the most unexpected places. I remember being in the studio workshop of Blake Sloan, a 43rd place, who's been on the show before, and he was working on office furniture for me. And I saw this really cool, I didn't quite know what it was. It looked part like a shelf, part like a little home. And it ended up being a little free library box. And if you've never seen these before, they're really amazing. I'll put a link in the show notes. But the little free library is the idea that people will have these and register these spots where they have books that you can take and lend and drop books off. There are several in the neighborhood that I live in and around Hyattsville, Maryland. Anyway, it's really cool. But there was a little free library that Blake was building for Jennifer, as it turned out. And he was like, oh yeah, there's this really cool photographer in the neighborhood and I'm doing this for her. And so she kind of came on my radar. And as a mom with young children, the idea of having, of connecting with a photographer who could do a family shoot sounded like something of interest. And while I still haven't followed through on that, I started following Jennifer and I reached out to her and connected with her on social media. And there's just continually things that she has put out there into the world that attracted me. And I thought, gosh, here's this person who I live so close to and still haven't had an excuse to meet. And so I knew she had to come onto the show. and I'm so glad that she did. She has wended such a fascinating path in her own career, as you will hear, everything from starting her own business, which she does on the side, to being in the Peace Corps, to thinking about how to translate Peace Corps into work, to going back to school in an intentional way. And she's clearly a lifelong learner, interested in her own growth, both professionally, but I think also at its core personally. You know, how is she growing as a person? Anyway, she's going to blow you away. So I think without further ado, I am going to say, let us hear from Jennifer. And remember that as always, you can head over to pointroadstudios.com to see this week's original cover art featuring the beautiful Jennifer, and show notes, which will have all the links, tools, books, resources, everything that she and I reference in today's episode so that you can have easy access to it over there. And I think with that, let us just dive on into the show. Jennifer, it is lovely to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me here.
You bet. So, as I told you I would, the first thing that I wanted to hear from you and have you share with listeners is just, what is it that you do and how did you get here?
Yes. So I am 1 month, maybe 1.5 months into a career services specialist position at 2U, which is an education technology company in Lanham, Maryland, based in Lanham, Maryland, and working worldwide. And I came to 2U from IREX, which is an international development nonprofit, where I was working with our workforce development and career center programs in Iraq and Morocco. And I love that. I got to work with IREX for 2 years before making this recent transition. And before IREX, I was working for an environmental think tank, World Resources Institute, where I was working with a mapping project in West and Central Africa, where we were working with governments to bring their mining and logging permit information from paper to online to make interactive forest atlases. And I feel like when I say those positions out loud, they all sound somewhat disparate and unconnected, but they have their thread through them.
Yeah. I'm curious, just to pause you there for a minute. I'm curious what, because to me, they don't land as disconnected. Uh-huh. So like what feels I know we'll talk about the thread, but what feels disconnected about them to you?
Well, starting with World Resources Institute, it was an environmental think tank. I did not have a strict environmental background. I was an environment volunteer in the Peace Corps for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I say that was because, in undergraduate, I was an art history and French major, and I volunteered on the weekends, some weekends, with a community garden, but like digging dirt and maybe planting some plants, but nothing. I was not an agricultural expert, but I think that like that little bullet on my resume was like, okay, you would be, you know, great as an agricultural volunteer. And I was like, okay, how? Okay, I will learn. But the French language is something that has carried me throughout, I think, my career so far. So in my mind, it's environmental work. It's not, I wasn't working with people. I wasn't working with career centers or workforce development. And then moving to IREX, still in international development, but a total shift in terms of the content of the work.
Yeah.
And then now working as a career services specialist, it's obvious the link of, you know, I was working with career centers, but I wasn't working directly with students and I wasn't providing that one-on-one service. So it seems to me like a light thread or kind of I see a weaving path. But before, I mean, if you had asked me when I graduated from college what career paths looked like, the only career paths I had seen were my parents, where if they hadn't worked for the same employer their entire career, in the case of my mom for 30 years, they stayed in the same sector. Mm. And when I left my first job, I remember talking with my stepdad about it. And I said, oh, I'm thinking about leaving. I have this offer for this other job. And he said, why would you leave? You have a good job. Your salary is fine. You have great benefits. Like, don't go. Stay in that job. And I remember thinking, like, maybe he's right. Maybe I should stay here. I should build a career here. This is where you start a good job. And if everything else, you know, if you're checking off a few of the boxes, then maybe you should just stay, be happy with what you have.
But then there's like that thing that's calling that's not.
But what if?
Yeah.
And then I also have a part-time photography and video business that I started now. So it's been about a year and a half, almost 2 years, that I do on a very part-time, maybe once or twice a month, basis of family and newborn photos or a wedding video here and there. Mm-hmm. And I say for the very low maintenance bride or family, because the high maintenance, I can't handle maybe the, if you need an exact photo of a certain thing, I don't know if I can deliver on that, but I can give you a fluid lifestyle interpretation.
Yeah. Well, I feel like if you're with a family, at least in my familial experience, I feel like that comes with territory. Yeah, you have to let go of a certain level of that, I think. And certainly I'm thinking of the backdrop in which you walked into the interview this morning. I'm very appreciative. So for for everyone listening, so Jennifer is here in the studio, which is always fun for me. And she arrived right on time as planned, early morning. I was earlier than we had both initially been planning, but it kind of worked out better for both of our days. And so she arrived into the full family chaos of our house. And there was like a good maybe 20 minutes of like, are we going to get our 5-year-old onto the bus on time? And we managed to get tea made too. So
I was imagining, I was like, maybe we're all just going to be together in the studio.
That's well, yeah. But as some people who've listened to all the episodes know, occasionally my 5-year-old does show up. Frequently, a child shows up, usually in the form of crying, because the show solo shows are usually recorded early morning, and those times that they show up usually get edited out. It's like where I'm like, can I get this whole show recorded before there might be a child crying? That is my goal. And go. But one of the things that when you were just describing kind of this path you've been on and what's the weaving. weaving, which I love, even just that imagery of weaving versus a path, that resonates with me a lot. But in terms of what's also disconnected, when you were describing maybe it was IREX at the time was seeing this particular thing on your resume and saying like, oh, you can do that. Great. Like, here's how that pulls out. It reminded me of when I moved out of my second part of my professional history in adult life, when I had been working at a nonprofit on promoting democracy in Iran and then moved to the advisory board company. When I applied for that role, I'm thinking with this resume I'm submitting, like I, as a person, am like, I'm a researcher. I love ideas. This is who I am and how I identify myself. So applying to this best practice research think tank consulting firm, I could do research for them, or I could write for them. They have a writing arm. I've done less of that professionally in my, 2 or 3 years of working at that point in time. But I'm like, but I could do more writing. Mm-hmm. And they looked at my resume and were like, oh, she helped start this nonprofit business. Like right. They told me I was coming for an informational interview, but they had funneled me into a path that was clearly on the business side of the house. Yeah. And it reminded me of something you were saying, when we were talking in advance of the interview, about how what you put on your resume can influence. So I was curious if I could get you to bring that in, how you have kind of noticed that how you've shaped your interview or thought about that differently.
Yeah. I mean, even you just saying that now, and I remember listening to that episode when you were talking about the potential they saw in you as an employee and what you envisioned for yourself as your strengths or interests. And so that's something that lately, that's what's guided my path, is people seeing something in me that maybe I knew was there, but I wasn't tapping into or exploring professionally. So, for example, with the photography business, people had said to me for a few years, like, you are really good at taking photos. Maybe you should do this professionally. My dad was kind of like, you need to be a full-time travel writer and just go take pictures and write about your experiences. And I thought, that's not a real job, Dad. And they're like, of course it's a real job. People do that. People do that job. But I think it was other people seeing in me different potential, and then also really taking the time to reflect on what I wanted to be doing and what I wanted to be getting out of my career, and then also contributing, thinking about what's my work-life balance like so that I can have more time to do the things that I really value, either in my community or mostly in my community, or spending more time with my family. And so at IREX, I loved the Career Center work, and a large part of my job was administrative, so working with consultants and travel and logistics, and I could do those things where I was getting, like, you're good at this, was when colleagues would ask me for, someone said this and I thought this is great, like collateral assignments, or maybe you said that in your most recent podcast of, you know, could you help us film these videos for our online course? Or we are having guests coming. Could you take photos, you know, their headshots and some pictures of the training that's happening? And it wasn't that just those explicit assignments that I enjoyed. It was more of like, oh, I'm getting to interact with other people from different teams and seeing how their work happens. And what are you all doing? How are you making that happen? And now working in career services, I feel like I'm going to get that opportunity full time of talking with people about, it'll be the whole gamut of career services, of, you know, you have a resume either from nothing or from scratch or we're rebuilding it. How is your cover letter demonstrating what you can actually contribute to a team, or maybe talking about your career pathway and you don't know where that is leading or how you can pivot. And I think those kinds of conversations are ones that I've had. And I said this in my interview, I just started seeing a pattern of I was trying to add all of these things in as collateral and side things, and I never considered that it could be my full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to do volunteer things where I was a mentor for undergrad students coming here for summer fellowships or internships. And similarly, there's a Atlas Corps has a program where they're bringing fellows here for 4 months time. So I would be a, I'm not sure what they call it, but a peer mentor where you connect with that person, talk about how they're adjusting to life here, invite them to your home.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these different volunteer things where, okay, this could actually be my full-time job. And it honestly just didn't click until I saw the job posting for this position now that it had everything that I thought, not only is it the work that I want to be doing, but it's a work environment where I think I would really thrive, of a really supportive work culture where caring about your colleagues matters and you're encouraged to, you know, go the extra mile to not just do your work, which is of course they want, but to care about the people that you're working with. Mm-hmm. And to show that and live that value.
In what ways do you see that get promoted? Like this idea of that they're valuing the work that you're doing with other people. Cause I think that's a lovely thing in practice, but what would I be able to observe is happening that would tell me that that's there?
Mm-hmm. It's mostly through this one platform called You Earned It.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way to, you get a certain amount of, it's kind of funny. It feels a little bit childlike, but we all have that playful child, you know, that we need to just embrace. And so it's called You Earned It, and you get a certain amount of points per quarter or per, some definite, I think it's per quarter. And you can give them out as recognition for different things. So, and then each of them has a metric, or not a metric, but you tag it with a different one of the values of the company. So you helped me with a project that wasn't necessarily in your purview, and I send you 50 You Earned It points with a little message saying, Sharon, thanks so much for helping me out. You really made me possible to get that project done on time. And then I, you know, choose from the drop-down menu the value that you embodied by doing that. And then at the end, you can redeem those points for a $5 Amazon gift card. Or so it's not crazy values of things in the long, ultimately, but then you see the feed of it kind of like Facebook, like, oh, well, Sharon was helping, or look at, that's just nice to see. And you were helping that other colleague, or someone brought in birthday cookies for somebody because they are valuing their teammate's birthday. And so it's little things, but
but there's like a running almost commentary on like all of these kind acts that are happening, whether it sounds like on a personal level, like someone bringing in cookies,
right,
or on a work level, like, hey, outside of your quote unquote job description,
right,
you were helping me get this project done.
Right. And with there are over 700 people that work in this, just the one building where I am. And I think about 2,000 people around the world, mostly in the US. But so it's an opportunity to get to know your colleagues I spend a couple minutes every day scrolling through to see, oh, who's that person? And then it piques my interest. And then my favorite thing to do for websites is, like, I click on a website, I go to the About Me page immediately. Mm-hmm. I want to read about that person. So now what I do is I just scroll down and I'm like, who's that person? Oh, let me look at their LinkedIn. That's interesting. And how did they get to where we are now? What is their career path like to here? And so I feel like opening opportunities for that to, in small ways, recognize and value your colleagues is really, I'm seeing, is so important to me.
Yep.
And then, right. So that's, I'm trying to think how else, I feel that's embodied. Walking around the kitchen, each floor has a kitchen, and I am new. So I started a month ago, and I'll introduce myself to people that I have not met before. But I remember in my first 2 weeks, people would see me and say, hey, are you new here? Did you just start? I'm so-and-so. What's your name? Where do you work? What department are you working in? Even now, I'll get in an elevator. And there are a lot of new people, and it doesn't happen all the time by any means. But people are just open to connecting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. From a business perspective, I'm thinking, oh, this is so smart, too, to have a forum like this. If I were a senior leader or the person running an organization with such a platform, I would imagine you could scroll through that and be like, who's really good at what? Like, where are people tapping people for, this person's jumping in on this kind of project regularly, that it seems like a really good way to surface strengths.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Of all kinds.
There's even a tab where you can see insights. And so you can see on a weekly or monthly basis, like, what are people, are they sending, you can send birthday points, or it's someone's work anniversary. You have a little tab that it shows you whose birthday it is today. And so you can see in this graph of, like, how are points being given today? Is it for recognizing values? And then it'll show you which values are being most recognized.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And then you can see, is it for birthdays? And then, like, what day of the week are people giving most what? And so I think that's because it's definitely a data-driven culture of, like, how are we... Just like you said, what kind of values are being
fascinating.
Most lived out? And then I can see it, and not only top, not only the C-suite.
Yeah.
And then also it has a running of, like, who are the most engaged people? And you can see that. Who are the top 20 people that are...
Are you one of the most engaged people?
I was for a little bit, but I've dropped out because you only get so many points. So I'm, like, trying to not spend all my points in the first 2 weeks of the quarter. But
you only have so many points to give?
You only have so many points to give. Yeah, so it's
okay.
Yeah, it's limited.
Gosh, this is fascinating.
Yeah. And you can high five somebody's thing, so you can, like, someone puts a comment of, like, other people said Sharon did XYZ, and then I can say high five, Sharon really is great, and
oh,
a comment
God.
To that.
I can just see it. I've said this to you as well, but my observation coming into our interview today was, I feel like I know you, although this is the first time we're meeting in real life, I am not a person
who is... Thank you, Instagram.
Yeah, I know. And I'm like such a learner and newbie in the space of, like, Instagram, and just that you can actually connect with people in this way and have it feel meaningful. And you are a person I was like, I feel like I have a meaningful relationship with this person. I have never met her before. So then obviously I did what I would do, which is meet you in real life and have you on the podcast. But one of the things I've admired about you from afar is you just strike me as such a connector, and just the way you bring things back to, you'll have, like, I see threads, and I'm trying to think of a good example of one, but I see threads in the way that you're communicating online that I don't get when I'm that I don't pick up naturally with other people. So does not surprise me. I'm like, of course you would be a person who, like, you're going to have to watch your point usage at the beginning because you're going to run out. And I would contrast that with me. If I were in this scenario, I would be like, oh shit, it's the last 2 weeks of the quarter. I still have 1 million points. Assign, assign, assign. And I would say not because I think of myself and pride myself on admiring people and giving meaningful feedback, but I don't know that I would tap into a point system that way. So anyway, it's just kind of fun. I'm imagining that you could see a lot about someone's behavioral tendencies watching how they use points across this duration.
Right. And maybe, who knows, is it the best system? I don't know, but it's interesting to me, just to see people at least have that space, to recognize and value where I value someone, people's contributions. I don't know if before people used maybe cork boards and you like had a place where you can put up anonymous praise of somebody. So I feel like this is the reimagined version of that, that at scale.
I was going to say it's scalable.
Right. It's scale. Yeah.
And if it, and I could imagine you could have the same thing and not have people using it. So the fact mm-hmm. that it is scaling, mm-hmm. To me says a lot about the culture and mm-hmm. that they're attracting people who both have that behavior and probably also promoting and driving mm-hmm. that behavior through whatever yes. mechanisms they're using. So lovely. Well, another thing I had wanted to ask, just again, hearing your lead into that is, so you were describing, I think it was your dad telling you like, mm-hmm. you should be a travel writer and like go off and like do these things this way. And then you were describing your own experience of seeing the job description for the job that you're now in mm-hmm. and you yourself being like, oh, this aligns with all the things. And mm-hmm. so like, I'm going to go do this. So the thing that to me, and you know, again, you keep me honest and put it in a framing that feels right to you, because that's more important. But the thing that feels aligned about those two to me is they're both an instance of someone seeing a path for someone. One, you seeing a path for yourself, another, somebody else seeing a path for you. And then saying like, oh, so like, here's the way forward. And I'm wondering for you, what was the, if you are tracking with me on that and that feels mm-hmm. Accurate, how would you contrast the two experiences? Because one mm-hmm. of them is your dad seeing a path for you mm-hmm. and another is you yourself seeing a path forward. And I was hearing you describe like positives about both, like, mm-hmm. oh, I've never thought about like being a travel writer in that mm-hmm. way. And like, I guess, you know, I did take these photos, you know. But what was your own experience kind of thinking of one that was self-generated versus another that was shared with you?
Mm-hmm. I think when I remember my dad saying that to me and then thinking, but how? What am I going to do? Am I going to quit my job and just become that? And I think that is what people do. Everyone has their own situations. Of course, like I am the benefits holder for our family. We need to have benefits. We have a 3-year-old daughter. Health insurance is important. So I felt constricted by a responsibility to have a full-time job with benefits. And that's not exactly possible. So then from that, though, I thought, but why not? I could do photography on the side and I can write on the side. I don't need to do it full-time. And I don't know that I don't necessarily want to. And then for how I am in my current position and what has honestly led me to my other jobs was this combination of, you know, we have this need and I'm seeing, well, I can fill part of those needs and then train up for the rest. And I remember having a talk with my grad school career advisor in March and looking at this job description that I'd sent over. And she said, you would be fantastic at this. You fit all the things. And I thought, wow, it feels so good to have somebody say to you, I mean, maybe you think in your head, I would be great for this job, but for someone else to go through the different bullet points and say, you really would be great at this. Like, look at this experience that you've had. It matches great with what they're asking for. And it sounds so simple, but if you don't hear it, then it's harder to believe it. And if it's not, you know, your husband or partner who is biased saying like, you'd be great at that job. You're like, yeah, but we went into a contractual agreement for life so that you would say those kinds of things to me, right?
Theoretically.
So, theoretically, maybe, hopefully. So I'm trying to think what made it click for me of, especially to get where I am now, where I feel like I'm in a job that I get to do all of the things that I love most mm-hmm. in one job. And I honestly just didn't think that was possible. And I know you're always going to have parts of your job that maybe aren't your favorite. But to get to the majority of the time, to get to either be interacting with students or developing resources that students could use for their own career planning so that they could hopefully get into a kind of position that where they feel the way that I do now is I think what I am hoping for. But I don't know if that really answers your question.
Yeah. Let me see if I can go back to that and see if you would agree with this. It sounds like the experience when your dad saw it, what I was hearing you say is that the big question it left you with is, but how?
Right.
So like, okay, you're seeing it, but like, okay, I don't have, like, I can't feel the follow through of like mm-hmm. what I, how I action on that idea. Mm-hmm. And yet, and this is where I'm putting words into your mouth. So
yeah.
I want you to check me on this, but it sounds also though that it sparked you to think, I couldn't tell if it was like, cause, well, I am passionate about mm-hmm. this or I am good at this, but there was something about him talking about photography in particular mm-hmm. that made you, and even maybe the international piece where you were suddenly like, well, but I could like do photography mm-hmm. and now you have this photography business, or I could be doing writing, and you are now writing mm-hmm. about travel, or at least you have been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was there something in that it sparked you to take an action that you might not have taken because of that, or and if so, why? Like, because you wanted to? And he, I don't know, I'm just kind of curious on that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. This is a hard question, I feel.
Yeah.
But it's a good one. It's a good one. I think what it sparked is starting this photography business, which wasn't exactly on a whim. I had been thinking about it. Then I started it, and then I thought, like, wow, I just started the business, and I'm putting pictures on Instagram, and it's happening by word of mouth, that I'm getting clients. And then doing the writing, I sent an email and started writing for this. I've submitted an application, started writing. And I think the process of those two especially, and you are drawing this out of me now as I'm thinking about it, was you really can just kind of start up something, and you don't, in my mind, those transitions of, well, for example, being a full-time travel writer, it's a, you've got to quit your whole job and then just move to Bali. And I was like, well, that's not exactly what I'm envisioning for my future, but they don't have to be dramatic transitions. Mm-hmm. I think how I previously had imagined them, you can have these subtle side things that can feed in and then have now inspired me to, in my career path, like think about, well, what really does make me happy in my professional life? Mm-hmm. And how can that contribute to my, you know, a happier and more fulfilling personal life? And so maybe all thinking about all the side things I was adding into my life and sitting down and thinking, like, is it possible to do all of those things full time? Can I have a career out of integrating my creative side and then also my desire to work with people, my writing skills? And now I'm in a place where I think I will get to use all of those skills, not necessarily explicitly, like I'm not going to be doing photography, but maybe I can do headshots for people, for my colleagues, and contribute to that workplace environment in that way, in a place where I know it's going to be valued and appreciated. And so, right, I think it did inspire just to think that these changes can be a little bit more subtle,
mm-hmm.
and that I don't need to turn my whole life upside down to design the life that I do want to yeah. have.
Yeah.
And I think thinking of, you know, you have to think of the short term, like I need a job and I need benefits. But having a longer term vision, and not necessarily that I was thinking, well, what is this photography or writing going to lead me to? It's going to lead to X, Y, Z. But just thinking, these are things I enjoy right now. If I stop enjoying them, I'll stop doing them. Mm-hmm. I don't have to. It's not my full-time job, so I can stop them whenever. And mm-hmm. I do have a tendency to take on maybe too much. But I'm like, but it's too much of the good things. Is that a bad thing? Is there? There can't be too much of a good thing. But yeah. So I think I feel like I've spent the last year or two exploring what really I find pleasure in, and also I hope is of service to other people and brings other people a lot of satisfaction and joy, and finding that intersection.
Yeah. I think you've said it beautifully. You described that when you were kind of saying, okay, dad's telling me to go be this travel writer. Mm-hmm. You're making the jump of, well, like, then I have to like go live in Bali. Mm-hmm. And is that is that the life I envision for myself? No. So I was curious, were you actively holding a vision mm-hmm. for your life mm-hmm. that is different to that? Mm-hmm. Or was it like that vision? No. Not that there's a better or worse. I was just kind of curious in your process.
Yeah. So I did the Peace Corps in Mali in West Africa from 2008 to 2012 and met my husband at the end of my service and started my master's in international education. And so in my mind, I had been building and working toward now this career in international development. And we got married, moved to the United States, not in that order exactly. and with my husband's career and our desire to move back to West Africa, in my mind, the only career path for me was working in international development. And so I had set out for myself, like, I need to be working toward working for U.S. government contracts and agreements, because that's the only way that I will be able to have a not fulfilling necessarily, but a sustaining career that is flexible enough for me to either live in the U.S. or back in West Africa, which I say it out loud and it sounds even not silly to me, but of course you can do other things, but it's scary and it's not secure and it's not the job that you know exists and know is out there. Mm-hmm. And so lately I've been reflecting on how what I'm doing now and or the different side things, writing, photography, but mostly my actual full-time job, it'll be fine. I'll figure out a career there, whatever mm-hmm. it is. I don't need to be prescriptive about it now. I do need to be preparing for, the potential of one day we would go back to West Africa. But everything that I'm doing now is, as long as it's working toward like a meaningful, thoughtful career for myself and for others, or the way that my career impacts others, there it will be fine. We'll find a way. Something mm-hmm. will work out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that it really has only been in the past, again, year and a half or 2 years, where I've been able to embrace that uncertainty. And now it's exciting. My husband's, he's a veterinarian and he's finishing his master's in public health. And it's exciting to see like his career launching and what that looks like. And I feel like it's going to give me even more space to think about, just a little more flexibility of what my own career can look like.
Yeah. Oh, so good. you know, it's, you're describing like, oh, I know it sounds silly as I say it out loud, but I think that this is sometimes the power of saying our stories yes, out loud is yeah. we're like, wait a minute, when I actually hear it. And right. I think usually like the more distance we get from it, we just literally get more and more perspective because yeah. we can see from a greater distance more. But when we're in it, we don't have the awareness of that, I'm getting married to this person. And so we could be there, therefore this.
Right,
and
right.
I think we're all doing those kinds of things where we're living in our own lens and it's like, well, there's this and that mm-hmm. equals this. But the reality is those equations we're creating are not one mm-hmm. and one equals two. They're mm-hmm. very movable, malleable mm-hmm. things that we usually see as a very rigid outcome. Mm-hmm. So I think what you are modeling here is something that I think is beautiful for people to see. Mm-hmm. And we just have to give ourselves a lot of grace as mm-hmm. as we look for the malleable stuff.
And I think, right. And grace and space to think about those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I like listening to your podcast yesterday. It was about, being present. And as I was listening to it, as I was biking home, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm doing something else. But you were talking about writing down things and then speaking them and not reading them, but speaking them. And, I recently had this experience, and I'll share this, that I was writing a story about my miscarriage. And I wrote it. I spent I don't know how many hours writing about this miscarriage. And then I was like, I feel strange because I don't feel emotional about it as I'm writing it. It's a very meaningful thing to me. Of like, it's impacted my life in big ways.
Yep.
Like the trickle or ripple effect, rather. But so then I had to read it out loud, as like I was writing it to read it out loud at an event. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to get up there and people are going to think I'm just emotionless because I'm just going to read through this very difficult experience that I lived. And I started like sobbing as I was reading what I wrote. And I thought back to, I think in another podcast, you had said something about that, of how when you speak these things out loud and then it's a totally different experience. And I thought, this is what I'm having right now. And so I need to do that more, of speaking out the things that I am envisioning. And that's the one thing I love about Hyattsville, which wherever your listeners are, hopefully they have a community or can find a community like this. But of artists and dreamers and entrepreneurs who are constantly, I mean, I see most of it honestly through Instagram, but like, look at these things that they're imagining or that they're doing. And I know, you know, they're not necessarily making millions of dollars doing it, or probably aren't, but they're living lives that they are creating, they're designing for themselves. And how cool. And like going to this vision boarding session at the beginning of this year at Tanglewood Works, where I was cutting out magazines and like pretending like I'm being silly. I'm pasting pictures from magazines on a poster board. And how's that going to help? And it's like, well, I taped that poster board right above my bed and I looked at it every day before I went to sleep. And it really has made a difference. Like, this is what I want. Is this what I want to see for my life? Like, how can I make it happen? And so I just love that, being surrounded by the space where I think we do need to be intentional about our, tapping into our creativity. It's just a lot easier when everyone around you is doing it. You don't have to try as hard to be intentional because it's a supported thing.
Yeah. So I want to say something. Well, so you've like said things in my head, like exploding in fireworks, like so many things I want to pick up on. So let's see if I can start with one and see if, what thread will weave. But the one, I just want to thank you for sharing a really difficult thing that you experienced. That is, I have not had a miscarriage, but I've experienced alongside friends who have. And I personally really value when people can talk about it, because it is a much more common experience than a spoken experience. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for that.
Yeah.
You just said something along the lines of, it's a lot easier when there are other people doing it, or you have like, there's many things you've alluded to that tie back to community. And I'll contrast that to my own experience. Is typically, I find it a lot easier to operate on my own, but like when I get in community with people, it's, I don't know what, like not, I like being in community. I love living also in Hyattsville and I grew up here, and, but it's, which is in Maryland, for those of you who don't know, it's awesome, right outside of Washington, D.C. But that, like, there's a thread of your story of like, it's just easier when there are other people that are there. Mm-hmm. And I'm calling it out because I'm like, there's a thread in your story that's clearly really working for you, that I would contrast as like, that's not part of my story. And I actually feel like that's also working for me, but how we hold, like when we're holding them so closely, we don't even realize that like, this is a part of the story that we're telling. But I was, for you, what is it about community that feels so important? Cause the thread for me that feels consistent is I'm like, there's that Jennifer who seems to be connecting to things and drawing these threads. And, you were at this visioning workshop at Tanglewood, arts in Hyattsville. And I'm like, man, that seems like something I would love to be at. And I'm just like oblivious that such a thing was even happening. Yeah. So like, what is it about community for you?
There's probably something that doesn't, I am not an expert in the love languages. I couldn't even tell you. I don't know what the specific titles are, but I think that the way that I communicate about and with other people, that's how I feel. And that's also how I love being communicated with and to. And so I don't necessarily have I think it's just like, I want to support kick-ass, badass women who are doing their thing. And I maybe it's a subconscious way of like, I want to be one of those kick-ass women. Like, one story that I love is I was working with Shea Butter when I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Mali, and there was this Shea Butter conference in 2010, a global Shea conference that was convened in Bamako in Mali. So it was supposed to represent the entire supply chain of shea butter. You had women who like pick the shea nuts off the ground and then who dry the nut. It's a very time intensive process, and to do it well is very difficult. And then you had middle buyer people who were selling, like collecting nuts regionally and selling to Johnson & Johnson or these big fair trade kind of companies. And I met a woman there, Funleo Alabi, who has a company called Shea Radiance. I met her and I remember we started talking. She's from Nigeria, but she lived in Maryland and she went to a college in Virginia Beach, at the only college in Virginia Beach proper, which is Regent University. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are the odds? That's I am nuts. In Bamako, Mali.
Yes.
You are from Nigeria. You live in Maryland near, you know, DC, where I kind of went to school, a little bit south of. And you went to school in my hometown, that's wild. So I just was like, oh, I love this connection. And like, the world is small and we're all interconnected. And so I moved to Hyattsville and I had a child of my own. And my husband, who again is one from West Africa, they will use shea butter in West Africa, kind of like I equate it to the Windex in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where they're like, I've got a laceration or a rash or whatever. And they're like, put Windex on it. Like in West Africa, that is shea butter. And so we had our daughter and she would have like a runny nose. And he's like, we need shea butter and we need good quality shea butter to put on her nose so it'll stop running and like heal. Oh
my gosh, this is amazing. I'm like, I need shea butter now.
Yeah, you need it. Everyone go and get it. So I went to Yes Organic on Baltimore Avenue and I'm looking at the shea butter options that they have. And the only shea butter that they have is the Shea Radiance.
I knew that's what you were going to say.
Shea butter from Funleo's company. And so I'm just like, then I think I just started using Instagram then. And so I was like, Funleo, look at this. I've got your shea butter. And I love this beautiful small world story of like, you are literally selling it's maybe not a boutique product, but your product in my grocery, local tiny grocery store. And I mean, she has this amazing company. She's been recognized by Warren Buffett and all. Now she's just getting a lot of recognition and it's well-deserved. She's doing like the real fair trade kind of work. Yes. Of like really connecting with the women who are doing the shea butter work. And so anyways, that I think of that story is probably most reflective because it literally ties in every experience that I've had in my life of like West Africa, Virginia Beach, Maryland, Hyattsville, shea butter.
Oh my gosh, goosebumps.
Yeah. Galore. And so I think that kind of thing, like I love seeing that and I want to encourage that and live that out in my own life. And in whatever that means, like, and I love shopping local and being local. That doesn't mean like that I'm at the farmer's market every day buying my groceries like fresh. I go to big box stores, but I love the feeling of actually knowing the woman I'm buying my fabric from, which I see in your studio here. Like I was like, I have the same fabric that I bought from Three Little Birds. And
yes,
one day if I don't get my mom to make the cushions, I'll do it myself. And how good it feels to, have those relationships with the people that you are buying your things from, or even just seeing at the coffee shop, which I actually don't drink coffee, but, like seeing at the mom swap or seeing wherever and, connecting. And even honestly, like for you and I through Instagram, we didn't know each other until now. And yet you can have those relationships even now I see virtually, which again, I was in your boat of like people would say, oh, I met this person on Twitter. And I'm like, come on, really? Like you have a friend through Twitter? Which maybe that's aging me now that I'm like talking about that. But and it's just I see now that for me that happens through Instagram of being able to connect with these businesses and people, even neighbors. It doesn't have to be through a business. And I just love that. It makes me feel good. It makes me feel like we care about one another. And like if something happens to me that somebody else would care.
So amazing. Your description, which is really magical of like meeting this person in Mali, and then all these things. And then suddenly, like, your daughter has a runny nose and you're buying the product that, you know, it's like all of those things coming together. You know, in some ways, it seems surreal. Like, what are the chances? But I really do feel that this is a part of just seeing. The more we open our eyes and are creating new distinctions for what is there and what's not there, that this happens all the time. And it feels like magic when it's happening. But I have this sense that we're like drawing it to ourselves. We're like, even it's almost not surprising to me, even though it was delightful and surprising when you said it, that you walked into the office and were like, I have the same fabric. And I'm like, of course you have the same fabric. And on the one hand, it's like, Sharon and Jennifer, you live in the same town. You have the same fabric store. But like, Three Little Birds has a whole lot of fabric. And what are the chances that you would have it? So anyway, I just think that these things exist, and they exist in a like literally superficial way, as in the things that we can see and touch. And I think they exist in a more intangible way. Mm-hmm. Like, where do we have these connections with experiences and people? And hopefully this doesn't feel like too far reaching of a leap, but to connect back to how you were describing your own story of how you're seeing, you know, the path that you've been on and what's weaving. I think we can start to see those connections to things when we step back and look at our story in a way that's impossible when we're simply living it. Mm-hmm. And so I think you've just done a beautiful job of articulating your story, reminding me of that as you're saying it.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for making the space for me to do so.
You bet. So I know we'll have to wrap up soon. So I want to ask you, kind of before I take us to closing, anything that we haven't talked about or that I haven't asked you about that you would love to share or explore?
No.
Yeah.
I feel like we've covered a lot.
Good.
I feel good about, I think that what I'm just taking away from even this conversation and thinking about this discussion or conversation before coming here was being open to these different opportunities and experiences, and you have to be open and not know what you're being open to later, whatever that means.
Yes. But,
I kind of just like throwing myself into something, or even like an Instagram relationship, friendship, and you don't know what's going to come out of that. And that's great. That makes it, I think, maybe more authentic. Like, I'm thinking now about, and I think, I don't know if I started listening to it because you said you liked it, The Badass Bosses or
Badass, Being Boss.
Being Boss.
Yeah.
And on that, they interviewed this woman, Jessica, from at No Real Jewelry. Mm-hmm. And I loved her interview and listening to how she's this actress and she's doing her lifestyle blog and all these other things. And watching her Insta stories now. So now I follow her and I'll comment on her Insta stories because she's very inspirational. And it's just so shocking when someone replies back to you on those messages. Yes. That's the thing that gets me. And it's like, oh, wow, you exist out there and you're listening to me and you actually are responding. And so those kinds of relationships where I have nothing that is going to happen with professionally or, you know, it's totally like a personal, I think you're doing awesome work. And yet it just feels good. Like, why not? And I feel like that's kind of something that throughout my life, I love like emoting and expressing and finding these small connections. Any of my good friends who are going to listen to this will know, like, I love those little small world stories, like the connections. And now I'm like, feel like I'm getting into this stride of, I don't need to be apologetic about that. I can be, embrace it and just trying to live my best life here. And
totally.
And that feels so good. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, yeah. You think about like what life's like, oh, you're like your 30s or 40s or 50s and beyond. Like, oh, how is it going to be as fun? It's like when you're 20s and in college. And she's like, it's only getting better. It's like having a child. Every day just gets better.
Yes.
So
that is a story I have too. And that story is working for me when I'm like, oh, like if only I could be back in my wistful 20s and no kids and footloose and fancy free. That story doesn't work for me. The story that it's getting better every day. Hell yes, people. That story is working. I invite you all to embrace this story. Well, but before we officially close, a question that you are probably aware that I like to ask guests is, what does it mean to you to lead a well-designed life?
A well-designed life is being grateful for the present and reflecting on what brought you there and being excited about what's coming ahead and expressing that.
Lovely. Yeah. Love it. I'm with you.
Attitude of gratitude.
Hey. Where can our listeners find out more about you if they want to connect after with the connector that you are?
Yes. So my website is jenniferbongora.com. My Instagram is jennifer.m.bongora. And Twitter is at JM Bongora.
Beautiful. And I'll have links to all that in the show notes so people can find you that way too.
Cool. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Thanks for being here. And that is a wrap for our interview today. A big thank you to everyone for listening into today's show. Before officially closing, I wanted to share how we can stay connected beyond the podcast, give a few shout outs, and share a sneak preview into next week's podcast episode. For show notes with all the links, tools, books, and resources referenced today, head over to pointroadstudios.com. While there, you can subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay up to date on the podcast interviews, all of our content aimed at spreading the design yourself spirit. Whenever we're trying out new things or giving things away, that is the first group that I'm reaching out to. So it's a great community to be a part of. And as always, if you like what you heard on today's show, please do help me spread the word. You can do that by heading over to Apple Music to subscribe to the show and leaving a written review. I promise it does not take more than a couple of minutes, and it really does help the show get noticed by new listeners, the algorithms of the podcasting world. If you would like to stay connected with the fabulous Jennifer, which I hope and believe you will, you can do so by checking out her website at jenniferbongora.com. You can follow her on Instagram at jennifer.m.bongora or on Twitter at jmbongora. And I'll make sure to have links to all of those in the show notes. Now, as for next week, do you remember how Jennifer and I had this shared fabric on the seat cushion in my office and that she's got at home? Well, that fabric came from Three Little Birds, an amazing sewing studio in our neighborhood in Hyattsville, Maryland. And I will be joined next week on the show by Katie Blattner, who is the owner and founder of Three Little Birds. And I cannot wait to share her story with you all. So definitely tune in. I always think there's so many people I've met along my path, and I myself have been in this position many times of kind of having a personal passion and thinking about, oh, wouldn't it be so cool if I could create a brick and mortar space where I brought people together or I sold these kinds of things that connect back to that personal passion. But rarely do I see people, especially on the brick and mortar front these days, making that kind of leap. And Katie and her sewing studio are an example of someone doing just that. So I think definitely tune in. You won't want to miss her. Finally, last but not least, all these people who I'm so grateful for on the show, a big thank you to Colin Phillips for his skilled audio engineering and interlude music, to John Flannery for his cover art design, to the Dismemberment Plan for the show's intro and outro music for one of my personal favorite songs, Following Through, and of course, to you. Thank you as ever for listening. I am wishing each of you a beautiful week, and until next time, remember, there is nothing stopping you, so go on ahead and get after whatever it is that you really want.